It's the radio equivalent of third base. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Yeah, get your shitty bikes and get out of here before I peel your beard off.
Too many mother uckers. Stop ucking with the shit.
Too many mother uckers. Ucking with my shit.
Testify.
That's right.
How many mother uckers? Too many to count, mother uckers.
Right. I'm sick of these mother uckers.
Thought you right. Lay mother uckers at the bank trying to pay me. And I'm out from my account.
Yeah, baby. This is Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, you know me.
If you've got HBO, you've seen this, and
it's a good bit.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Minus a $25 penalty, so you feed me, cause of your motherfucking fee. Read the word.
Yeah, I just took this right off the TV show. If you've got HBO,
come on.
They're a New Zealand folk parody duo.
They're New Zealand's third most popular.
They're the sixth most popular.
Fourth most popular.
You know, it's on the record, they might use a different terminology.
Balance.
Yeah, these guys are really good. I thought it was going to be like Tenacious D, these two guys.
Yeah, but they're
and it's
really fun.
Much funnier than that. It's funny, like.
There you go. The fight's going to get vicious and malicious. Cut the crutches. I need my red delicious. Tells me that's Kiwi. My money isn't back. But don't adopt some motherfucker like a mother.
see the episode. There's a Pakistani fruit cart guy.
Yeah. Who won't
who
sell them an apple.
Them because they're Kiwis.
That's the guy in the beginning that says, get out of here with your shitty bikes and stuff.
Yeah.
Then they're riding around New York complaining about
it. It's like a Corey and Joel dance party. I wish you had a video of this.
Now, you got to see the show. It's kind of funny. Like I think the show is funny. Like The Office is funny or like Spaced or any of those things. Yeah, it's great. Flight of the Conchords.
Top-notch show.
Very, very, very funny show.
One of your better comedies.
And you and I kind of, we kind of hate musical comedy.
Yeah, I mean.
Comedians. And those guys have a whole, like, live show that they do.
I don't know if I hate it, but it sure ain't my first pick.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, and they do it about as well as anybody.
Yeah.
So, Flight of the Conchords.
I really think they're better than Tenacious D.
Oh, I think they're absolutely better than Tenacious D. And not that Tenacious D's that bad. I mean, that, to me, just wasn't my thing.
Right.
But
I've enjoyed Tenacious D somewhat in the past.
But here's the thing about these guys. Not only is the show funny, their music's like real good.
Yeah.
Like we were just digging that song. We'll play some other ones during the break and we might even, you want to play something else? You want to play, what haven't we played? You got anything else? You have the stuff queued up? Like aside from the break song and everything?
Well, yeah.
Can you get a little, if you're into it, you want to
do
that?
Let's go.
Cause this is a song where like the one guy, Brett, gets a girlfriend.
Yes.
And
it's a two-man band, Jermaine and Brett.
Yeah, so Jermaine helps Brett write a song, and he decides he's going to perform it for her.
Yes.
And Jermaine helps out performing it, and it's just a real funny song about what he's willing to do for his girlfriend.
Hey, do we introduce our show, by the way?
Yeah, we're the Corey and Joel Radio Show. How's it going, everybody? I know, but I like this so much that once I get into it, I don't want to do anything else.
We didn't introduce our show.
Welcome
I'm
back.
Corey,
it's show 133. I'm Joel. That's Corey, and welcome back.
Man.
Just me and Corey today because... there's very little oxygen left in the room after PJ's appearance last week.
It's a good.
So
yes,
we're still fumigating
PJ
the place.
Sucked the life out of everyone.
No, PJ was great, but
PJ's always great.
PJ's great.
He's a big guy. He takes up space.
His history of heavy metal concerts is, I think, an all-time classic on the show.
You know what? Don't even listen to this one until you've listened to that one. If you skip that episode. 132.
Yeah, 132 with PJ was great. So anyway,
right, here's more Flight of the Conchords.
So anyway, they sing the song. Usually, when you fall in love, you write a song about how you'll climb the highest mountain and you'll do whatever it takes for this girl. And they write a much more simpler song. It's very funny. So let's hear that right now. This is more what they do with the folk guitars than the hip hop thing.
If you want me to, I can hang around with you. If I only knew.
So that's Brett singing?
That's what you're into.
Here's Jermaine.
You and him, him and you. If that's what you're into. Him hanging round, around you. You're hanging round, yeah, you're there too.
And if you want me to, I will take off all my clothes for you. I'll take off all my clothes for you. If that's what you're into.
How about him in the nude? If that's what you're into. In the nude in front of you. Is that what you'd want of you?
If it's cool with you. I'll let you get naked too. Could be a dream come true, providing that's what you are into.
Is that what you're into? Him and you in the nude. That's what he's prepared to do. Is that the kind of thing that you think you might be into?
And then maybe later, we'll get hot by the refrigerator. In the kitchen next to the pantry, you think that might be what you fancy?
In the buff, being rude, doing stuff with the food. Getting lewd with his food. We heard that's what you are into.
And then on our next date, well, you could bring your roommate. I don't know if Stu is keen to, but if you want, we could double team you.
How about you and two dudes, him, you, and Stu, in the nude, being lewd with two dudes with food? Well, that's if Stu's into it too.
All the things I do for
if you.
If you
want, we could double team
if
you.
It's
so great.
That's what you're into.
Yeah.
Did you give me part-time model?
No, I don't. I didn't pull that one
That's
yet,
another,
but that was from that episode
fine
one.
Song.
There's a lot of great stuff. So catch that show, Flight of the Conchords. It's on yes. HBO. If you have the on-demand digital cable like I have, all of the episodes are currently up there. They've done six, yeah. I think, that have aired, and they're all up there. So.
And they have an obsessed fan on the show. Named
oh,
Mel.
Yeah, Mel.
They have one fan. They're a struggling folk rock duo.
Uh-huh.
And their one fan is obsessive and... the actress' name is Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
And she looks a little bit like an Andy Kaufman, but cute.
But a cute girl.
Do you know what I mean? Like
she's got crazy eyes, kind of.
Crazy
yeah.
Andy Kaufman eyes.
Yeah, and she's kind of chubby, but she's right. kind of cute. You know what I mean? Like
not so much chubby,
she's
but
not
a little
chubby,
punch.
Like fat. Yeah, she's a little... She's got a big round moon face,
yeah.
kind of, and stuff. And,
yeah, she's adorable.
But she's real cute, and she's trying to bang. She always tells the guys how hot they are, and they're all skeeved out yeah. by it.
She's you don't see horny girls portrayed.
Yeah,
in
she's always like licking her lips around yeah. them, and it's real funny, man. She's like real good.
She's in the back of a car with him. She's like, man, if this cab just caught on fire, that'd be the way to go, wouldn't it?
And she's married, too. That's yeah. great. They make her married so she can't.
Yeah, her husband drives her around to her gigs.
She can't really bang the guys, but she'd love to. So it's a very good show. And, of course, they have their manager, Murray, and we'll hear from Murray before the
yes.
end of the show. The last song
another
we'll play.
He works in the consulate of the New Zealand like Travel Bureau.
Yeah, the I don't know what you would call
it. I think it was in the New Zealand consulate. He's like the travel office.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and he's always, he'd say these posters like, they're like, New Zealand, it's just like Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
only better.
Really shitty yeah. promotional yeah, materials for New Zealand.
New Zealand rocks, and there'll be a big...
Yeah, it's real funny. So anyway.
Good show. We love that
Flight
show.
Flight of the Conchords, all right.
And we've killed about 7 minutes of show.
We've done almost 8 minutes. So
oh,
you're a
tremendous.
Little bit off there, but good guess. Anyway, we're back at show 133. Corey and Joel with you, so... Oh, I'm just... What?
It's rare we endorse something as heartily as...
Yeah, I know. We've been watching that for the last... We watched it week one. It was on. So a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon now, but we've been watching that since...
I watch pretty much everything HBO puts on, and then some stuff, like John from Cincinnati...
Yeah, we had that discussion on the board about
there's
John
a message
from
board chat about that.
Oh, piece of garbage, right?
Well...
I mean, I haven't seen much of it, but what I've seen, I'm like, I
it's
don't...
Not a, it's a headache. It's a show where the guy's like, I'm just going to be... arty as I want to be. First of all, it's about surfers. And if I could think of something I cared less about than surfers or surfing.
Don't surfers smoke pot and get laid? Isn't that what surfers do?
I've never understood this. He was one of the greatest surfers of all. Like, how was a guy a great surfer?
That's the premise of the show, is the guy was a great surfer?
It's like a family of great surfers. Oh. Like, the dad was a great surfer who hurt his knee.
Yeah.
And the son was a cokehead or like a junkie.
Yeah.
And then the guy has a kid.
Yeah.
So it's like the third generation,
and
he could be a great
John
surfer.
John from Cincinnati.
John's a drifter. I'm trying to explain this show to you.
Yeah, exactly.
John's a drifter who might be an angel or might be an alien or might be Jesus Christ.
Or might be canceled after this first
season. Yeah, and he pulls like magic stuff. He pulls like if they want money, he pulls it out of his pocket, and he like... He gets stabbed and heals. And
he's like a Jesus character.
People come back from the dead, but they don't explain anything, right. And it's just bizarre.
Screw that.
It's a big mess of a show.
I think I put on the forum, I'm like, you know, quit. Like, people expect you to watch those shows because they're going to pay off at some point. And I'm like, you know, just make a good show that, you know, stands on its own.
All this show has done is confuse me more from week to week.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't need that.
And there's a lot of ponderous stuff about how great surfing is and how... The dad can levitate.
Preposterous.
It's ponderous. Preponderous. And whatever. So it's a lot of heavy moralism and a lot of heavy, you know, the power of redemption, man. I'll be saved again. So No, but that's one HBO show I don't like. Well, but usually I like the channel and I like what they put on.
Whatever. I mean, I pick and choose what I watch. Hour-long dramas that have a serial thread running through them, pretty much I'm not in for. Because that sounds like homework to me.
Yeah.
Go home and watch another hour-long show, and then you have to pay attention so you can follow what's going on. And
I was into Dexter.
Yeah.
Which is a
Showtime.
Yes. And it's a guy who is a serial killer, but he only kills people that have done evil. But it's a good show, and it's really well shot.
He should kill the programming guy at HBO.
No, it's Showtime. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying he should kill the programming guy at HBO.
For John from Cincinnati. The worst part about John from Cincinnati is David Milch, the guy who created it, had Deadwood, which was already on the air. And instead of doing more Deadwood, he said, I want to go do this other show.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And since he was such a genius with that first show, they
didn't
give him
like
that.
Deadwood either.
I didn't really see Deadwood. I know a lot of people like Deadwood, so I'm not going to put it down. But again, it's another hour-long show that has a serial thread, and
I love Deadwood. Follow that. But it took a lot of work.
Because, you know, it's fun. It's one thing, because I will watch like a reality show where you got to watch every show every week.
Yes.
But I know that's going to end at some point, and I know it's going to end with somebody winning $1 million or somebody getting, you know, that the prize or whatever it was.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about you and drama. You
I don't want to. I just told you what it is.
Yeah.
Why didn't you listen when I told you? Now I'm going to say it again. And now if you listen.
But those HBO shows, in their defense, aren't that. They don't have long seasons. They're only maybe 13
episodes.
No, but
they'll stuff from one season will carry on to the next season. They'll take 6-8 months a year. Sopranos took 16 months off at one point. You know, it's
The Sopranos would turn just about anybody off with that stupid premise that went on in that show.
And I like Sopranos, but I didn't love it like everyone else did. And I saw the train wreck coming, and when it happened,
Well, I will watch only the. That's why I like the HBO shows, because if I'm going to watch a serial drama, it better be the best stuff they got.
Yeah, I guess I just don't see that anyone cares about. A family of surfers and a Jesus guy. That sounds stupid.
Now, the best show is The Wire on HBO.
Okay.
It's a tremendous show. That one really does reward you for watching it with the
characters. Is that the show that takes place in Baltimore or something?
Yeah.
You know who likes that show? We should not even talk about it now, because it's Mike Lundy's favorite show.
Oh, really?
He talked about it when he was on The Funhouse.
Well, it's about they show the cops and the dealers
and
the whole community. They show the politicians. They show everybody involved in Baltimore in this one neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it's a great show. But I'm not going to sit and watch CSI Miami.
But again, you can sit down and watch a CSI Miami, and you don't have to have watched the other CSI Miamis to follow what's going on this CSI Miami. And that's why I can't watch those shows. If I want to watch John from Cincinnati right now, I got to go watch the first one.
You'd never get what was going
on. So I got to go watch the first one. Now I have digital cable, and I can go watch it. And even if you don't have digital cable, if you wanted to see Flight of the Conchords or something, you could go on YouTube or on... one of those BitTorrent site, and you can probably get, you go on the news groups, you can get Flight of the Conchords the entire season at this point. But I don't want to have to do that.
No, I hear
you. I want to be, I'll watch CSI New York occasionally.
Watch 75 hours of Big Brother.
But I'm telling you, I just explained to you.
Yes.
You're not listening tonight.
You can get it. Get it all easily.
No, because I know it's going to end.
Right.
It has an arc. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. John from Cincinnati...
They might
feel like they're coming to the end of it, and then they're going to say, well, we'll give you $30 million for two more seasons. And they're like, well, fuckity-fuck-fuck. Now we got to write more John from Cincinnati's. And now that's what happened with Lost. That's what happened with Sopranos. Right. All these shows.
Lost is the worst example of it possible.
We watch Lost. We did that whole... Should we do our bonus feature where we watch Lost and do that with a John from Cincinnati?
Yes.
Because that might be a good token
for
that.
You would be so upset about
that. That might answer all my questions.
Yeah, if we randomly watch John from Cincinnati.
Because I watched that one Lost that everyone was hyping up about, the return of Lost. We watched it, and not since then, I've never watched a second of it.
No.
And I feel like I'm missing nothing.
And you're not. You're missing nothing.
Do you ever feel like you're missing something? Do you ever feel like there's something everyone's watching and you're missing it?
Sometimes, well,
but Lost. I no longer feel that. I think for a while I felt like maybe I was missing something with Lost.
People will have extensive conversations about American Idol, and I'll go.
Yeah, but you know what that is. Pretty much.
I get the basic premise, but I won't get
on the root level.
Right.
I mean, All-American Idol is was this guy was good, this guy was bad. That's about the extent of it.
Sure.
So even if you just watch the highlights of it on one of the shows, Entertainment Tonight, you'll get the gist of it.
Yeah.
It's different from like an actual scripted show or something.
I generally don't feel I'm missing much of anything because I am a media whore.
Right, right, right.
And I watch a billion things.
You feel, I mean, see, I feel like that like with movies and stuff sometimes. Yeah. I feel like I don't want to miss this movie in the theater because it's what everyone's talking about, and if I don't see it now, well, I'll have to see it later, and then at that point it won't be, you know.
When you're a trendsetter like we are, when you are a first adapter and you're out there ahead of the field.
Adopter.
Whatever. First adopter.
You're sharp tonight.
You know, I'm just mad at you because you won't watch The Wire.
You know what? I've only had HBO for like 6 months,
That's true.
I don't think The Wire's been on.
No, it hasn't.
I don't think The Wire's been on in
now,
6 months.
Now, worse than that is a show like Entourage where they fake that there's a storyline.
Right, right, right.
There's no goddamn storyline of any consequence.
Yeah.
But they try and sell you. It's a comedy show where they sell you that, oh my God, what's going to happen with Vinny now?
Yeah, like Flight of the Conchords has a little story running through it. Barely.
It's very faint.
You know, The Office, which is probably my other favorite TV show at the moment, has a few running threads, but the overall show, you can just watch an office, not know anything about it, and get it.
Now, and Concords, there's no continuing thread.
Well, but sometimes, like, the girlfriends have come back from episode to episode.
Right, right.
And, you know, like, their buddy Dave will come in.
It's pretty slim.
It's pretty slim. But, I mean, you can sit down and just watch a Flight of the Conchords randomly and love it. And you can do that with The Office, but these shows like John from Cincinnati, you can't do that. Lost,
no,
none of them. 24, I'm gonna sit down and watch a 24. Would I enjoy that? Because that's another show that I felt, I guess, at times that I might have been missing something.
Yeah,
like maybe not recently, but maybe the earlier seasons of 24.
You know, would you watch a DVD of 24 if they had the whole season for
How long is a season of 24? Is it
like 24 episodes? So it's 24
that
hours.
That seems like a lot of work, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it just seems like a fucking.
Look, some shows I just lose patience with.
A ball-busting hump of work, would that be, you know?
Now, The Wire, the reason The Wire is so good, I know they're going to give me some kind of payoff. I know they're going to give me some kind of resolution or advancement of the story in a season, right?
Right.
And what they've done with this is there's been, I think this is the fourth season.
Okay.
Each season has a focus, and like, you know what I mean? One season was like the dock workers.
Okay.
And the storyline went through them. You'll know it's going to, at the end of the year, you'll get something.
Yeah.
Lost, I don't know if I'm going to get a goddamn thing, but a hernia and agita and blown blood vessels in my neck.
Yeah, Lost to me. What other shows are like? I mean, Twin Peaks back in the day. Never really cared for that.
I watched Battlestar
that.
Galactica, and that show pissed me off this year.
Oh, really?
To a large
you
extent.
You turned out. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Everybody stop everything. Stop what you're doing. Stop. Pull your car to the side of the road.
Yes.
Corey has turned on Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. Corey, please give us reasons.
Well, you see, at the beginning of the year, there was a great storyline that continued from the end of the last season of Cliffhanger about colonists landing on New Caprica, which was a world they were trying to colonize. But the Cylons found them and imprisoned them and put them in like a slave camp.
Okay.
And it was like this whole like a rock green zone kind of allegory, and like the humans started turning into like suicide bombing. And there was like all this, it was cool. And then they went back up in space. They solved the problem and went back up in space. And then you got to wait and find out who are the other. There's people who are Cylons. There's like five original Cylons, but some of the human are Cylons, but they're paying it off slowly. And then Starbuck died and came back. And it was the most, it just got real silly and annoying in the way that it hadn't been. Before,
sure.
People liked that show because they thought it was like really
intense and
serious for sci-fi. Well. And then it starts getting into crazy nonsense. Even though it's a show about robots hunting people in space, it was serious and gritty.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll watch this Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, God.
And I like the Terminator movies a lot.
The trailer for that spectacularly bad.
But I don't know if I can get into that.
Yeah. What about Bionic Woman? Are you gonna? Is that girl hot enough for you?
I haven't seen enough of her.
Right.
I haven't seen what they're going to do with her on the show. She seems like she's a hot chick.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with her on the show.
Now, the girl who plays Starbuck on Battlestar Galactica is the villain in Bionic Woman.
See, I don't
Woman.
Even know from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. Let me ask you a question about Terminator. Did I miss a movie or something?
Did you see Terminator 3?
Yeah. That was the last one?
Yeah.
They didn't make a prequel thing or anything?
Not that
That's what this show is, though, right?
Yes. This show is between
2 and 3?
2 and 3.
Okay. All right.
Because
it's not between 1 and 2?
No.
It's just between 2 and 3? I thought it was maybe between one and two because she didn't have the kid yet.
No, I think the kid's grown up.
Okay.
The kid's a little bit older than he was.
But I thought at the end of two, everything was fine. I mean, I know it wasn't by the time they got to three, but at the end of two, everything was fine.
That's the problem with making sequels. You well, write an ending and it goes...
They have a time travel theme, too, you know, so...
Well, it was in Aliens, the sequel to Alien.
Yeah.
They wrote it and they had an ending and they got off and got away from the aliens.
Yeah.
And then, nope, that did... we're going to start episode the third Aliens. they crash on the planet and everybody's dead but Ripley. I hated it. It pissed me off. It destroyed...
Well, no, Alien... No. Alien was... They got away from the alien because one got on their ship.
Right.
They were on the alien planet. And then Aliens was, we have to go back to the alien planet.
Well, people went and colonized the alien planet.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And they had to go find that big... What was it called? The Navigator or whatever?
Yeah.
Remember the guy... The big guy sitting in a chair? Mm-hmm. They went back and found that again. Wasn't that in the Alien?
Yeah, that was the original Alien.
Aliens. That was in the original Alien, and they went back to that place.
But then in Aliens, people had colonized the planet, the original planet.
Right.
And then at the end of Aliens, they'd blown the planet up.
Okay. All right.
And it was all set.
But then Paul Reiser was in Aliens.
And he was...
He was in love with Helen Hunt, though. And I think she got eaten by an alien.
He muttered under his breath, "Jew."
No, I'm not. What about Paul Reiser? I'm not trying to say anything.
And, you know, he was there and me and
he acts like Woody Allen.
Looked at her and then they both looked at me.
I'm saying he's a little Jewy.
He's a Jew. All right.
In fact, his character in that movie was
Jewy. Next time, just say it. No, but he's that show was you know, Mad About You.
Yeah.
That was like Annie Hall that lasted 11 seasons.
What was the show about Paul Reiser and Greg Evigan loving a little girl because their cum dispenser, a whore of a wife or girlfriend.
It's a cum receptacle.
Yeah, the cum dumpster caught jizz from both of them simultaneously. And they weren't really sure which one was the dad.
Double teamed two guys on St. Patrick's Day, and now I don't
know. That was the premise of my
dad. I don't know. Was that really? I don't really know anything about that.
The premise was either the short Jewy lawyer or the crazy artist banged this girl,
right?
And now they have a daughter.
Yeah, and now you just go on Maury Povich, and there's no show.
Yeah,
you just go on and.
When it comes to 14-year-old, I can't remember her name from this show.
I don't either. That wasn't Blossom. That was a different.
No, it was a different show.
It was a different annoying girl who wore. It was a different annoying girl who wore hats every day.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Blossom had a similar premise in which Ted Wass had to raise Blossom because the mom went off to Europe and became a whore.
Okay, so why did she wear hats all the time? Was that somewhere
to cover
in the
up her Jew horns?
Was that putting a shadow on her giant nose?
Yeah.
Was that what the hat was for?
Sticks!
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
It was the whole show about a girl wearing a hat. I've never heard of a war show in my life.
On a very special Blossom.
Yeah, they did a lot of that
she
crap.
She got her period like 7-8 times.
Did she really?
Like she started menstruating repeatedly on that show.
Wow.
Yeah.
She went through it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
But let me talk about Six.
I heard by the
Jenna
end
Von Oy.
I heard by the end of the show she was going through menopause. Is that true? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Could you confirm that for me?
She had 5 kids and they were all very Jewy beaked. And no, I don't know. I
don't even know from that show. Aside from Ted Wass, who I only know from Soap.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then
he was great on Soap.
He was great on
Danny
Soap.
On Soap.
Soap was one of the great shows that you never see on TV anymore.
It was on TV land for
a
while.
The reason, and I think it just sort of ties in what we're talking about, the reason you don't see Soap a lot is because of that serial nature of
it.
Where, you know, if they're going to run it 3 times a day, it's like, how do you do those? You know,
comedy works best when nothing ever happens to the protagonist.
Sure, yeah.
Everybody loves Raymond, right?
Right.
I guess the kids get a little older.
Right.
But you hardly see the kids.
Right.
So there, you could run that any night of the week, and it doesn't matter.
Well, it's my favorite show of all time, which fans of our show are well aware. Three's Company.
Yes.
They always try to make something happen, but at the end of the show, they're all still friends.
Right.
Jack can still live in the apartment. Mr. Roper still thinks he's gay.
Right.
He didn't get laid. I mean, it's the same thing. It all resets.
They got the jaws of life out and pulled Jack's nuts out of the dishwasher. And Chrissy is no longer a stripper. So, it all worked out.
Right. He pretended to be a French chef and fooled Mr. Angelino.
Yes.
And now it's all back to the beginning of a
he didn't fail his test to get into culinary school.
I want to get into the Mr.
Funny comedy.
The Mr. Angelino versus Dean Travers argument.
Well, we can get into that.
We've done that before on the show. I know we've done Mr. Angelino versus Dean Travers.
See, I don't know sometimes if we've talked about that outside of the show or if we did it on the show.
No, I think we did it on the show. Should we go through Mr. Angelino and Dean Travers?
That Dean Travers was the he was the inspiration for Superintendent Chalmers on The Simpsons. Do you agree?
Well, he was
that kind of character,
administrator type guy. Yeah,
who was always yelling Tripper.
Yeah,
yeah.
But what did Mr. Angelino yell?
Tripper.
Well, that's the thing is that Mr. Angelino was just a clone of Dean Travers.
Yes.
Because Dean Travers was the guy that you wouldn't think Jack would get through cooking school because, and that was, I guess, one thing that they eventually got Jack through was cooking school.
Was the difference was that he was trying to bang Mr. Angelino's daughter?
No, because he was trying to work in Mr. Angelino's restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it was like his school boss was Dean Travers. Yes. Then his real boss in the real world was Mr. Angelino.
Wasn't Jeffrey Tambor on that show as well?
Jeffrey Tambor, I believe, played about three different roles in the history of Three's Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played many different guys.
They just
kept
bringing him back?
He played a crazy dentist who they all thought was like an escape mental patient at one point.
Yeah,
which I remember really well, and I love Three's Company. I never watched the DVDs. I think I got a couple from Netflix. But I don't want those DVDs. I just like it on TV.
That's kind of like when Dean Stockwell got killed three different times on Columbo.
Yeah,
yeah.
He just kept coming back.
I think
a different
Robert
guy.
Culp was like two different guys who killed people.
Oh, really? Okay.
And Dean Stockwell got killed. In fact, Robert Culp killed Dean Stockwell.
Did he really?
In one of my favorite episodes.
Wait a minute. A character actor killed another character actor.
Yeah. No, it was Dean Stockwell was like the heir to a football team, and Robert Culp was like the GM that wanted to run the team.
Okay.
And so the kid was like, Dean Stockwell was in the pool, and he hit him with a block of ice, and he drowned and threw the ice in.
You need to look into your brain.
What?
And erase all Columbo. Like, you're a smart guy, and you're going to need that brain in the future.
No.
You're going to have to remember your kids' birthdays and things like that.
And I remember...
erase all... you'll never need your Columbo information
and
again.
I'll tell you what. It was a perfect plan, too. He thought... He rented an ice cream truck and hit him with a block of ice from the ice cream truck and then threw it in the pool and it melted. Perfect crime, right? Except Columbo saw that there was water away from the splash area of the pool where he'd rinsed his feet off with the hose.
So if a guy's in a pool and you kill him with a block of ice, that's the perfect crime.
Well, it would have been, except Columbo figured out how he did. He said, there's something wrong here. One more thing. And then he caught him, you know, in the act.
Oh,
he found some tapes or something.
You need to forget everything.
Columbo's a great show.
Like, here's the thing with your brain. This is what I think. I think every 10 years, just empty.
You're talking about Dean Travers.
No, I think you should keep about two decades of information in your head.
And then shunt.
And then just delete. You're 30 years old now.
Yeah.
Any TV show you saw until you were 10, eliminate right now.
Really?
Erase it from your brain, yeah.
Okay.
And just go with about 20 years of information.
All right.
Can you do that?
All right. I'm erasing up to The Master. Do you remember that show?
No, see? No one. No? I want you to forget about that show.
That was a great show. I was 10. That was a show where Lee Van Cleef was a ninja master. He'd, like, learned it in the war.
Yeah.
He was, like, a U.S. soldier that learned ninja school, you know, went to ninja school
like
after
all,
the
like
war.
All ninja school.
Yeah, because a lot of white guys become ninjas. And he was a ninja master, and he told...
What decade? 1977?
He was in the mid-80s. Yeah.
There haven't been ninjas in like 5,000 years.
That was the greatest part about the show. It was like ninjas were hot all of a
ninjas
sudden.
Ninjas were in like feudal Japan. Yeah. They're like, what are they?
This was like 84 and people went, what's this crazy stuff with ninjas? And they made a show, The Master. It was a great show.
All right, forget about that show.
Okay.
I want you to forget that.
I'm deleting it.
Deleted. Gone. Bing.
I don't know. But then it was on Mystery Science Theater.
Oh.
So that, I don't know if it's still in there.
All right. Jeez.
Trying to get rid of my Columbo data. Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
Hold on. Let me...
Speaking of it, did you want to get into American Inventor, or do you want to do that after the break?
Boy, is that... Wait, hold on. I'm cleaning out the foe.
Oh, there it is. All right. Okay.
There goes...
Is that the Master? I think I hear the Master.
There goes BJ and the Bear.
Oh, okay.
Yep. All right. Purging. Yep. Dallas, who shot JR?
You're erasing who shot JR?
Yep.
Should I erase some stuff, too? Should I erase something?
I can't get rid of Manimal. Nope. Sorry.
All right. That's fine. I'm going to erase when Big John Studd and Ken Patera cut Andre the Giant's hair.
Okay.
I'm erasing that right now. That's about gone.
It's a good file.
I'm erasing all references to the boogie-woogie man, Jimmy Valiant.
Okay.
from TBS Wrestling in the early 80s. All right, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, is gone from my brain.
Okay, good work.
That's what I did.
Waylon Mercy, are you dumping him out of your files?
Well, that wasn't 20 years
that
ago.
That was later.
That wasn't 20 years ago, right. So yeah.
That was 90s.
Yeah, but I just want to forget about
that. Oh, man. It was hard to say goodbye to Fantasy Island. It really was.
That's gone.
Goodbye, Tattoo.
That's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll be mad at me, but I think I'm keeping Battle of the Network Stars.
Well, you
as
know
much
what?
As I don't want to get rid of Battle
Charlene
of the Network Stars.
Just for Charlene Tilton in hot pants.
And you know why? The only reason that's really fresh in my mind is that the now defunct Trio channel ran those just a couple years ago.
Best channel ever. I loved Trio.
And
I loved everything about
gone.
It. Trio was the show, the channel for me, and they dumped it.
What did that become? That was an NBC channel, I believe, right?
It's a piece of...
They just went into...
Trio was like my wet dream because they had a whole thing called Brilliant But Canceled.
Yes.
Where they would show short-lived shows that that were tremendous. They had pilots that didn't make it.
Right.
And that, to me, as a big dork, is what I could watch all day.
Uh-huh.
I could watch the pilot with Pam Dauber and George Clooney solving crimes.
Sure.
I could do... There was a pilot like that. I could do that all day, and Trio was all that kind of pop culture junk like that, and that's what it was.
Well, Trio actually got started as sort of a highfalutin, like, A&E type channel.
Right.
Where it was like, what was the Trio? It was three things. It was like documentaries, arts, and music, I think was the idea. And then it became more of like a pop culture channel later, and it sort of became, it sort of rose when... all those I Love the 80s things were coming on, and they would just flash back to old shows. And it was a cost-cutting move. I think NBC got rid of it. You can probably Wikipedia it.
I'm doing that right now.
And see, make me sound real stupid when I'm completely
wrong.
No, it's
okay. It was a Vivendi Universal NBC.
It was Universal. Yeah. Okay, I was right. Yeah. I'm breathing deep. I think I got it right. But they had Battle of the Network Stars on. I just remember that.
Oh, you know what happened? Those assholes at DirecTV dropped it.
Oh, and that was their main carrier of it. Yeah. And it's funny that DirecTV was dropping stuff because they were for years just adding.
Yeah.
And never deleting anything.
You know, they can drop stuff right now.
Yeah.
They could. You know what they can drop?
What can they drop?
I got about 15 Hispanic channels.
Yeah.
Drop those.
Well, if we can drop the 30% Hispanic population from America, I think.
But I'm saying keep Univision, Galavision, and whatever.
Sure.
And then, you know, give them 3-4 channels. I don't need 15 Spanish channels.
There's not 15 Spanish channels.
It's a lot.
Well, there's probably
a lot of Bible thumper channels.
No, there are those, and those can go from digital cable and whatever.
The nun with the eye patch, rid of her.
They're claiming that I think a la carte is going to happen at least some point, because now with the competition from everybody, because what's happening is now the internet companies are providing TV. Like AT&T has a television service now, and it's not cable TV. It comes in over a fiber optic line, and it's going to be able to, you know, all this high def and all this interactive content. And what's happening is that, you know, whatever cable rules you have in place never applied to satellite. And now any rules that would govern satellite aren't going to govern, like, this IP television. That's what they're calling it. Mm-hmm. And those rules aren't, you know, they're going to have to make new rules for that and new rules for cable. So I think eventually they're going to just have it where, like, wouldn't that be great if you could just say, yeah, I get rid of all the religious channels.
Yeah.
And I want to swap those out, the six Bible Thumbing channels.
Oh, it would be spectacular.
I want to swap those out for six Cinemax channels.
Sure.
And I can see boobies every night on cable. Well, now, wouldn't that be great?
I've got all those Cinemax channels.
But, I mean, you know.
My roommate bought, like, the massive package.
Which, who needs that? I mean, on your worst day, who needs that?
Nobody. But he's got it. And you know what? Damned if I don't enjoy it.
Like,
sometimes.
I have HBO and Showtime, and plus all the movie channels that are on the Encore series. Like, I got about 25 movie channels. More than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be good with four of them. Like, I could, you know.
No, there's 15 channels, and, like, about three of them are showing fried green tomatoes all day.
There was
they're showing that every day.
HBO Comedy had, and I missed it. And I hate that, too, because sometimes I'll miss stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll never be on again. Like, I'll go to the guide to find when it was on. There was an HBO, a young comedian special, like, after the glory, like, Rodney days. I think it was a Dana Carvey-hosted one.
Oh, wow.
And you would have loved, you probably would have liked it more than me, but Judd Apatow was one of the young comedians.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I would have loved to have seen that. And it was already like, it was over by the time I got to it, you know.
We might have talked about this like a year and a half or 2 years ago. There was a young comedian special that I'm trying to remember the lineup, but it was unbelievably.
You could probably find those on Wikipedia.
It was like Bill Hicks and Robert Schimmel.
Yeah.
It was like all these guys.
Well,
that
the classic
like
Rodney
stars.
One had everybody on that. That was with Roseanne and Dice and Kinison and all those guys. So. I'm sure you can look up the Young Comedian specials. And
I'm going to do that right now.
You're going to do that right now.
But anyway, well, what else are we doing? We're talking about Flight
of
the Conchords.
We've really done nothing but talk about television for 35 minutes, but, you know, hey.
That's what people like us to do.
We still have to talk about American Inventor, because that was kind of our one of our big shows this summer.
Boy, was it ever. And here's it was
a big show and a big disappointment. But
Young Comedian special takes some work. But
all right,
here's some stuff that was on Trio that I fucking loved.
Okay, what did you like on Trio?
Well, they had Laugh In.
Okay,
they had Battle of the Network Stars.
Yes,
they had Late Night with David Letterman.
Yes, they had Letterman reruns from NBC. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
By the time just say that though. About five other networks had those Letterman reruns.
I think E had them.
They had been playing for 10 years on other channels. Yeah. E had them and some other
But I still would love those every day. I would watch
Okay.
them. Okay. And then they had Brilliant But Canceled. They had Action. That was the Jay Mohr show that was really good.
Yeah, which was canceled.
The only good thing Jay Mohr ever did. Uh-huh. And Bakersfield PD, which nobody ever saw. Easy Streets. Cool shows that were on there. Kolchak, The Night Stalker. Good stuff.
They built the channel exclusively for Corey Hall.
It was for me.
And then they canceled it because one guy was watching.
They showed,
you were the only one watching.
They showed Look Well, which was the Adam West show written by Conan O'Brien.
All right.
No, it was that Conan O'Brien wrote it. It was a great show with Adam West where he was a guy who played a cop on TV and tried to solve actual crimes.
Yeah.
It was really good. The PJs, which is the anime, which is not about PJ Butlin.
It was not.
But was a claymation show with Eddie Murphy in it. Good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, let's. You ready for a break? You want to do a break? We'll do more Flight of the Conchords.
Is it break time already?
It's 36 minutes in.
Oh, my God.
It's almost halfway. We can do a little more. But we want to talk about American Venom. We want to give that some time because.
That'll be in the second half, yeah.
That was a ridiculous waste of time. And as much as I like the auditions, I don't think I can. That might have the best audition round of any of those reality shows.
Well, what they did. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we
got
to get into it. More Flight of the Conchords. You ready? That'll make us laugh.
Oh,
what are we playing on the break? I forgot.
We're going to play this is a special song.
Oh, this is a socially conscious song. This is sort of their version of like What's Going On, the Marvin Gaye song. So
this is a song
Enjoy this.
About the streets about and about the people living on it.
That's right, baby. Let's play a little more Flight of the Conchords.
We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back right after this. More show.
There's children on the street using guns and knives, taking drugs on each other's lives, killing each other with knives and forks, calling each other names like dog. There's people on the street get diseases from monkeys. Yeah, that's what I said, they get diseases from monkeys. Now there's junkies with monkey disease. Who's touching these monkeys? Please leave these poor sick monkeys alone. They got problems and opposite ears. Man is lying on the street, some punk's chopped off his head. I'm the only one who stops to see if he's dead. Turns out he's dead. And that's why I'm singing. Why? What is wrong with the world today? What's wrong with the world today? Why? What is wrong with the world today? You gotta think about it. Think about it. Good cops been framed, put into a can. All the money that we're making, it's going to the man. What man? Which man? Who's the man? When's a man a man? What makes a man a man? Am I a man? Yes. Technically I am. They're turning kids into slaves just to make cheaper sneakers. But what's the real cost? Cause the sneakers don't seem that much cheaper. Why are we still paying so much for sneakers when you got them made by little slave kids? What are you over here?
At the end of your life, you're lucky if you die. Sometimes I wonder why we even try.
We build it up now.
All right. Flight of the Conchords.
Hey, now.
Got diseases from monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good song. I love those guys. That's just funny.
It's a great. It's a good show.
It's a good show.
Distinguishes it is that the songs really go another place.
And I can play these songs out of context, more or less. I mean, I talked up a couple of them there.
But in context of the show, they're even funnier.
They're even funnier, and you got the visuals, and there's visual gags going on, and it's good stuff.
It's very low-key. It's very quiet. Yeah.
The guys have real thick New Zealand accents, and
they say
that some people might be thrown from that a little bit, but, you know.
There's a running joke about Brit, and people think that his name is Brit.
His name is Brett, but they think it's Brit. You know, I think some people look at that show and go, these guys aren't trying. Because they're so, like, kind of dim-witted and low-key.
But then when the songs come on, you know they're
trying. Yeah, because they're so fast.
They do a Bowie parody that is the most dead-on.
Yeah, they do a really... They did a whole episode around Bowie, and they do a Bowie parody. It's great stuff. So, anyway. You want to get into American Inventor? Because that was our bitch all summer. That was the show that we watched religiously and DVR'd and rewound and tried to enjoy. This show...
Well, there were two shows. We talked extensively about the Impression show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Next Best Thing.
Yeah, which was such a good show.
Yes, it was.
It made so much magic for our lives.
Yeah, and, we had...
this is the most greatest moment of my life.
I loved every second.
I thought we were going to hear a really shitty Bill Cosby.
I thought I was, too, until I couldn't find it.
Oh, you saved yours. I'm sorry for calling you out on that. Yeah. But anyway,
this is the
clip. No, I like don't you.
Well, this was from the audition round of Next Best
Thing. Why I'm here today... Now my wife, Camille, and I, we have five, one, two, three, four, five
The more
children.
I hear this, the more I like it.
And
like, I used to think this was
addicted.
A terrible Cosby. Now I go, it's kind of a funny Cosby.
It's the best thing ever. Because here's this. His wife thinks he's addicted.
To the Jell-O pudding.
Who sent you, the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
So me and my wife, Camille.
Oh, no, more of that.
I never wished I had earwax before.
Anyway,
the judges were actually had some good lines on that.
It's a 26-year-old kid, like a blonde white kid.
A white guy. He looked like a college guy.
And, you know, that does remind me that we used to do wacky stuff in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
And we used to have birthday parties for celebrities. We had a John Amos birthday party where we watched Coming to America and Beastmaster. We made a cake. We did these things. Yeah, we were stupid. We had a John Saxon birthday party.
Sure.
One of these birthday parties was Bill Cosby's birthday.
Yeah.
And my friend Roger and I went and got cigars and Jell-O pudding.
Yeah.
And walked around handing out pudding cups to people in Royal Oak. And, nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
And then somebody got a girlfriend.
And then, and then I discovered this.
And you wanted to celebrate Red Fox's birthday, and no one was there to do it with you.
No, I discovered this new stuff called vagina.
And then you met me.
Yeah.
And now I do sit a around. Show that we talk about it.
Now we got microphones, and instead of doing the same crap I did before, I now talk to hundreds of people about Dean Travers.
And now guys in Germany is a thing. I do not know who Dean Travers is.
A couple thousand people around the world are now sitting going, let me Google Dean Travers. I need to know him.
Who this Mr. Angelino is. What did he work at the bistro?
Well, Joel, I would talk about Jürgen Schmuschmasch and Yetlef Humcha, but I don't know German comedy television.
No,
so,
we know Hogan's Heroes. I don't think the Germans were laughing at that.
Yeah, you ever see Spritzy Feikenschmeichen? Oh, Fritzy Schmeichenschmeichen was the best show ever.
Yeah.
I don't know these things. I wish I could talk about them. It's, I'm sure German TV is just as bad as American TV in its own way. In fact, probably worse.
Probably.
Yeah.
Not a lot of humor on German TV.
No, really. No.
You get the feeling not a lot of comedies on German TV.
No, no. In German television, they are abreast. It is much better than American television. You don't understand. I watched a 17-hour documentary about the Roman aqueducts.
Yes.
That was truly tremendous. And I rode the tram to work.
You know, in the German version of Blossom, she has to live in an attic. Did you know that? That's true. I saw that.
Oh, that's
absolute. That's a fact.
That gets that and this.
What? Oh! Talked about her hooky nose for goddamn 10 minutes. That's unfair. We need a review board on the
page. Anyway.
We need a review on that. I thought that was a fair use.
It was a good joke.
It's a Nazi joke. It's not a racist joke. It's a Nazi joke.
Here we go with the Nazi jokes.
Just because she Blossom looked like a Mayim Bialik was
Mayim
Jewish.
Bialik.
Mayim Bialik.
Now, see, you are forgetting, of course, my... prepubescent attraction to Jewish women.
Yeah.
Growing up, and it continues to this day. Okay. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, so that show worked for me on a lot of levels. I was into her friend, Jenna Von Oy.
Yeah, I don't even, I kind of know who that is, but six. Not really, yeah.
That was her name on the show.
Whatever. You and the, I'm sure all the girls that were 13 at the time are probably not listening to this show, so right. no one's really going to get your references,
maybe
I'm
some
guessing.
Of them. Joey was on that show. Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, like, I mean, 13-year-old girls at the time were into that. Not us.
What did you forget? Did you have a girlfriend, Corey?
I'm just talking about Blossom. Shut up.
Here's my thing with Blossom. I couldn't beat off to Blossom because she kept wearing that hat.
That stupid hat?
I couldn't beat off to the girl in the hat. No.
In my opinion, nation, the sun is going to surely shine.
Oh, is that the theme song? Stop it.
Yeah, she had the dumb song at the beginning.
I was beating off to Kelly Bundy on Married with Children.
Well, everybody
That's
was.
What I was doing.
You're a little more simple. You know.
What do you mean simple? What
you
the fuck?
Have
what?
Kind of more common everyman tastes.
Oh, yeah, and just because you can beat off the ugly girls, that's a more refined taste.
No, you
than
can
me.
Jerk off to knitting shows. And
I
we've established that.
I've never done that to a knitting show. Oh, never, ever.
Sure.
You just say that so you can look like you're above everything.
Look, when you're jerking off to Rach, the next episode of Rach, next time she puts EVOO on some garlic bread and goes, ooh, yummo. You can get your jollies that way.
I beat off to Big Brother.
I'll be trying to find Blossom on DVD and Small Wonder and see what I can do to that.
Yeah, any show with the prepubescent girl you're in love
with. Small Wonder was a robot, too.
Yeah,
that was
don't even
part.
Start on that. That's the worst show ever. No one has ever legitimately, like, that's a show where, like,
no one goes,
guys,
oh, I loved it.
Yeah, no one will ever say, like, what, you didn't like that show? Like, it's just, that show was being goofed on from day one. Yeah. Like, there was never a point where, like, there were people who actually liked
that
it.
That was a complete goof. That
was
whole
a
show
complete goof
was
from
on
the beginning.
For how many years? Because it was a goof.
Yeah, it was, like, such an awful show. And it was sort of like, you know, there was just never, like, every bad show that we're talking about, like Blossom or My Two Dads, there are people who actually thought that was good.
Yeah.
Like, there's people now who think Two and a Half Men is actually good television.
My dad is one of those
love
people.
According to Jim. There's people who like these television shows. And then,
someone liked Yes, Dear.
Right. And then we'll go back and we'll laugh about, you know, we laugh about Family Matters and Urkel now.
Sure.
It makes us laugh.
But it brought in ratings.
But people actually, like, sat down and enjoyed it.
Yes.
Or, you know, Full House, everyone's oh, that's great. Or
speaking of
Saved by the Bell is like that.
I'm
going
to call back to My Two Dads. Step by Step also featured Stacey, what's her damn name? Oh, I'm blanking. Oh.
Was Step by Step with Suzanne Somers?
Yeah, it was Patrick Duffy
and Suzanne Somers.
And Sasha Mitchell, who was a kickboxer. Who played a dumb guy named Cody. I remember all this stuff.
When can we delete that? I'm going to write that on the calendar.
That was from 87.
All right, so we've got...
It's only 20 years old.
So you've got to delete that by the end of the year.
You said 20 years old?
I said 20 years.
Oh, I thought you said 30 years. I thought you said decked when I was 10.
I think 20. But I said you're 30.
Oh, so when I was 10.
So 30, anything from 10 up, or you're 32, actually, or whatever you are. I don't want to out your age, but...
Something around there.
So I, you know, like, yeah, you would have to delete anything from when you were 12. Down.
12 down?
12 down. 12
oh,
down.
Well, that was on like 88, 89.
You can remember, you know, your third birthday party. You just can't remember the Dinah Shore show. You know what I mean? You can't.
But what if my third birthday party was when we played Match Game and we all dressed up like our favorite Match Game characters?
And you were Charles Nelson
Reilly.
I was
Bill Daly, but you know.
Yeah, you were not going to.
I dressed up like Dickie Dawson and I made all the girls kiss me. And that was a great birthday.
Why don't you be honest and just because I have photos of you as a young Nipsey Russell. Now, why don't you just admit?
No, that was my friend Calvin that was up the street. We made the black kid play Nipsey.
Did you make him rhyme and wear a dickie?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we said, hey, get your shine box and go do a dance.
Now I want some Queensryche. That was actually racism. That was actual racism, folks. We've captured racism live.
Oh, stop now.
In a recording. The
come
first
on, come on.
My Queensryche was a false alarm.
Hey, that's uncalled for.
It's
look,
a quality Nazi
that's
joke.
That's not even true because he was too poor to have a shine box.
Oh.
So.
Hey, you know what? Did you make him stand on the lawn and hold the torch?
Yes.
What you did?
Yes, we did. And then he played Skins when we played Happy Days. He played the drummer, Skins.
I think he
the
was
token black.
He was Sticks. You've screwed that.
Oh,
up
it
before.
Is Sticks.
It's not Skins. It was Sticks.
The worst part is when we talk about crap that I got wrong before, and
they
I
call
it
him Sticks because he was skinny. Just remember it that way.
Oh, they didn't call him Skins
because he played the drums, man. And they called him Sticks because he was skinny.
Okay,
you got
who
that
was,
wrong before.
And who was the guy on Hogan's Heroes?
I never watched that show.
That was a great show.
I was kind of too young for that.
Yeah,
I was kind of like too young to really get into Hogan's Heroes.
I understood LeBeau. Was a French officer. Was a French guy.
Yeah.
And Newkirk, you know, was a...
Well, it was roughly based on, like, The Great Escape. It was sort of a comedy version of that. So, I mean, he was... Bob Crane was sort of the James Garner type guy. Wasn't that the idea?
He was the kind of the ringleader.
Yeah.
But they had... they had a black guy on Hogan's Heroes, which is funny because on top of all the other silly stuff about Hogan's Heroes, the services weren't desegregated until the Korean War.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there wouldn't even have been a black guy in a white unit.
There wouldn't have even been a black guy there? Okay.
I don't think so.
Maybe they just figured he's black and just put him in jail.
Well, it was like, yeah.
Was that? It was that, like, you can't do a prison thing without without a black guy. Was that the idea?
That's awful.
I might deserve a Queensryche.
That's terrible.
That one I might have to sit there and put that. You can put that on my show.
Wow, we're dragging the show down now. With our.
We didn't even explain Queensryche. But, I mean, if anyone hasn't, that's 140... episode old
sure.
joke, isn't it now?
Yeah.
Why we play Queensryche when we say racist stuff? That goes back to PJ's voicemail, which we don't even have.
I
mean, I could give that to you, but it would take a minute. Maybe we shouldn't buy it.
Ivan Dixon, that was the black guy. <Hogan's>
Okay. We'll explain the Queensryche thing later, so.
Queensryche, it's...
We'll do it later, because I'll give you PJ's voicemail.
It's in the FAQ.
It is in the FAQ. Yeah. You're right. Read the FAQ on CoreyandJoelRadio.com. It's probably a little outdated in a lot of ways, but the Queensryche stuff still holds up. So we haven't had Toffee Fan on the show in forever. When was the last time we had Toffee Fan?
It's been a long
it's
time.
It's been a long time. All right. We got to talk about American Inventor. Time is rapidly coming through the hourglass. Wow. Falling through the hourglass.
Yeah. American Inventor.
It's such a big can of worms, it's hard to even...
Well,
do you start with the panel? Do you start with the stupid audition round? You start with who won, who lost? Where do we start? The premise of the show is somebody wants to be, like, in American Idol, you want to be the next great singer. An American Inventor, you want to be America's next great inventor. You have a great invention that the world needs to see. That's the premise.
I feel like because the show's over, there's no real point in doing this except for venting personally. It's just like personally.
Well, we watched the finale recently, and it was god awful.
It's like getting it out of my system because there's nothing you can do. You can't watch it. You can't.
Well,
vote.
No one that's listening to this.
You
is
could
be
send
able
letters
to
ABC.
Well, maybe. What I think the idea is maybe people watched it and they can sympathize.
Well, if you watched American Inventor, and I know you didn't in Perth, and I know you didn't in Iceland, and you
but
didn't
they have Australian Inventor, and they have all kinds
I wonder
of.
Wonder if there's
shit
a Sweden
like.
Inventor.
There probably
Swedish
is.
Inventor.
They do. They invent.
Switzerland.
They invent furniture that you come shipped flat in a box.
I've invented a new cuckoo clock in Switzerland. I don't know.
I don't know.
So anyway, oh God, Newkirk, LeBeau, Carter. I'm thinking about Hogan's Heroes.
All right, American Inventor.
Let me get back on track.
Yes.
American Inventor is a pile of crap show created by that pile of crap Simon Cowell
and Peter Jones, who was one of the judges, the big British guy on the show.
Now it was on last year. With a different set of judges.
Yes.
Different set of rules.
Yes, a little bit.
And it was revamped for this.
It was revamped, made a little more streamlined, I'd say. They changed some of the judges. They tried to make the judges a little more... they tried to get with more famous people when they got Pat Croce and George Foreman.
I thought the addition
judges.
Of this judge was amazing.
What judge was that?
I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what happened. I mean, you probably, I don't know, you had to train a little bit.
That was last summer's great reality show, Master of Champions, with Oksana Bayul.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
No.
Of course not.
So good.
Oksana Bayul, who in a year since that show's been off, has avoided being my girlfriend. And I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah.
That was my goal when that show was on.
I'm going to go home with a broken heart.
Well, Oksana, I'd love to date you, baby.
Why are you going to ask me to go out with you?
All right, I can't get a hold of you. It's hard because of all the, you know, I got to call
it. It's so romantic.
See, I'm trying to be, baby. I'm trying to be. No, Oksana was great.
Oh, this is so cute. Oh, this is so cute.
Now, talk about it.
Come on.
Masters of Champions was kind of like that girl you meet at camp, right? It's this intense, wild, passionate, crazy thing. But you know you're going home in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and so why get too caught up in it?
Sure.
Just finger banger. you know, finger banger after the concert at camp or before the dance party. And you're all set.
Take her out in the canoe.
Sure. Make sure you leave a little bit of residue on your bunkmate. You know, you can, like, let your bunkmate sniff your finger.
All right.
Finger banger hard at camp, and then it's over. You go home, you write her a couple letters, and then you go back to your life. I don't know what I was
saying. What are you,
I don't know.
I think you were drawing a comparison to American Inventor.
No, I was drawing a comparison to Master of Champions.
To American Inventor, though.
And American Inventor's like that, too. I'm going to forget about it in a week.
Right.
But it's fresh right now.
Well, Master of Champions was sort of competing with America's Got Talent. Yeah. It was sort of a talent show with judges.
Another awful show produced by Simon Cowell.
Yeah, right? Another one. But American Inventor was a show where people came on and they showed their inventions. The audition rounds were classically, I think they were still very good this year. I thought they were better last year, where guys would come on with the wackiest crap and try to tell people it was an invention, and it was horrible stuff.
And that's the premise. And that's, to me, the catcher.
And that was the comedy of the show.
Yeah.
And they had George Foreman being one of the judges. The judges would say yes or no to someone's invention if they moved on to the next round. George Foreman said yes to, seemingly on the show, about
70-80%
of the stuff George said yes to. And it was ridiculous. And everyone else would say no, and they'd send people away.
I'll give that a yes. I could certainly use an individual bologna separator.
Yeah, he all
you know, it was
just
like, the bologna sticks when you try and get it out the package. I like this tine that pulls the bologna apart. It was just like people would have the dumbest crap.
Right. I got a big problem with raccoons in my ice box. I could use one of those. You know, he just have all these weird ideas reasoning for why he said yeah. And he just said yes because he wanted to be a nice guy. That's what it seemed like to me.
George Foreman was once so hated, they made a documentary about When We Were Kings, how Africa hated him. And they all loved Ali, and they said Ali Boumbaya. He never wanted to be hated again. He wanted to be loved. When he came back, he went and became a preacher, and then he came back. So he just didn't want to disappoint anybody.
He didn't want to be a jerk like he was.
So some guy would come out with a pantyhose on his head and be like, this is the new underwater breathing system. I put a pantyhose on my head. I like that. I could use that when I'm swimming underwater trying to rob a bank. I like that.
He had all kinds of weird ideas, and George Foreman, he kind of ruined it in a way because you wanted to see people just say no.
Yeah.
And he said yes to a lot of people, and it was kind of stupid.
What were some of the goofiest?
Well, the guy with copper. He had this copper mesh. He claimed copper cured disease.
Yeah.
And there is some kind of junk science where people will wear like a copper bracelet.
Well, this
and
guy,
they'll put it on a point in their body, and it's supposed to heal them. Yeah. And this guy made a whole hat out of copper, and it was ridiculous.
This guy, I think Don Corleone shot this guy.
It was an old Italian
guy.
In
like 1929.
Why watch it with the... Watch it. Just watch it.
What?
Watch it with the Italian stuff.
Oh.
Watch it with the Italian stuff.
The guy, what was the name? The guy's name was like Carlo Giancardi.
something like that.
You know, he was part of the Gambini family or something. I don't know what it was.
We don't know. Alleged.
Okay.
It's alleged. We don't know. We don't know anything.
In this thing of ours.
We don't know anything.
There is no Cosa Nostra.
He did nothing
wrong. You know that there's no mafia. But if
there
was one.
We don't know. The copper was not stolen. The copper was legitimate.
Sure.
He's a legitimate copper tradesman.
This guy did not fence this copper at all.
He's in the union.
If there's no mafia, but if there was a mafia, I think this guy was involved in running out Tony Fat Fingers Giuliani.
But you don't have any evidence. You don't have any evidence of that.
I'm just speculating.
You're speculating.
If there was a mafia.
You're speculating.
If there was a mafia,
just admit that you're
this guy was involved. Anyway.
It was an old Italian
this
guy.
This old Dago that was like, copper will make everything right. I feel invigorated from a copper. And so he was like, he put copper on everything.
I put a cop on. I want to make a lover to Sophia Loren. I mean, it was so stupid.
I get a plate of gnocchi. It's so fresh from this copper. We made glasses with copper on them, like wire copper.
You had
mesh.
To look through copper mesh on these glasses.
He put a mesh copper over his head and they were like looking at him like laughing, going, "Are you serious about these? Like, is it comfortable?" Nice and not comfortable, but I feel better.
It was so stupid.
Amazing.
And there was just all kinds of great stuff. There was a guy who had look at you holding back on that.
Anyway.
But, you know, he had a thing. There was one guy who had essentially a toaster for meat.
Yeah.
You would put a stake in like a little slot.
It had three metal prongs.
And you would put it on the thing.
And you slid it in there when there's a plastic on either side.
And it would cook. There was an electric heating oven. It would cook a steak.
Yeah.
And he made a steak that Peter Jones, and he said, I'll make a steak in like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And 45 minutes later, the steak was, you know, was it medium rare? Isn't that what he wanted?
Yeah.
And Peter Jones was like, I'll have to test your medium rare steak now.
Yeah.
And he's like,
that was perfect.
That was a really good steak.
Yeah.
I have to say. I'm going to give you a yes.
Peter Jones is this British twat that...
I think if you're talking about a British guy, it would be a twat.
Excuse me.
A twat is an American term for something else.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
He's a twat. Excuse me. I had a conversation once with the guys from Shaun of the Dead about the pronunciation
of
that. Anyway,
I'm sure.
That's name dropping. That's Corey's name dropping. Take a shot if you're doing that at home.
Right. Well, that's okay because I'll be ring announcing Greg the Hammer Valentine next week.
Oh, okay.
Since we have both those celebrities.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
When I was hanging out with Simon Pegg, we talked about twat versus twat. And when you had breakfast with Terry Funk.
The hardcore legend himself. Yeah. Yes, that's right. I'm not going to talk about my close personal relationship with Blazer Dead Homie. You go ahead.
No.
You go ahead. You take your name drops from here.
All right.
What'd you know? Angelina Jolie? Okay, that's fine.
I met her.
Drew
Carey and I exchanged jokes.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. I shook hands with Vanilla Ice, but you go ahead. Oh. You go ahead and you keep thinking that you're a big star. Go ahead.
I know the guys from Electric Six. Let's move on with our evening.
You know, the guy Martin from The Ville sent me an email.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're really going to talk about who knows more famous.
I once had a testy email exchange with the Skepticality people. It was terrific.
I am not only friends with Hortense, the hand puppet of low self-esteem.
Really?
But also HIV Fonzarelli and Sampler X.
I have actually eaten Popeye's chicken with Mike Lundy.
Ooh.
I don't know if you're aware of that. That's a very, very well, you did too. So that kind of negates
that. What were we talking about?
I don't know what we were talking about. American Inventor.
Twat.
Peter Jones is this guy, and they have to have this. Like Simon Cowell was so successful in American Idol that his other shows he produces, he gets his little butt buddy British friends.
Yeah, Peter Jones is one of his buddies.
And then America's Got Talent, they've got Piers.
Yeah, who was like Pierce Morgan, I think his name was.
Pierce Morgan.
Pierce something like that. Pierce something. Who was a newspaper editor who knew Simon. Who's a
and
media guy.
They're very Euro and Britty, and they're very bitchy.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, that is terrible. You are just dire and wrong.
Yeah, every show needs to have an angry British judge.
Well, he's aloof. He's above America. Yeah. It's kind of like he's working the heel angle.
Uh-huh.
It was like what William Regal worked in the WWF.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, he's working the heel angle, the Lord character, you know.
Well, he talks about that in his book, William Regal, about how every
Stephen Regal, as I call him,
every British guy had to comes to America. Like he didn't play a lord or whatever in England, but every British guy that comes to America has to be an uppity, put your nose in the air.
Would be better even if you came like as a soccer hooligan or something? If they had that.
Well, but Americans don't really get that. Americans still think as King George and all that crap.
But if a guy was breaking bottles of Whitbread bitter over people's heads for being dirty dagos and stuff. That would be more like Brit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just using that as an example.
You just happen to find dirty dagos.
Look, maybe it's Fritz. Maybe he's getting in a fight with a German guy. I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just doing the character.
Sure. Talk about my people again. I'll fucking break your legs. All right. Go back.
You'll get the guy with the copper wires to talk to me.
A black sedan will be pulling up in front of the studio as you leave tonight. Okay?
So Peter Jones, his gimmick, by the way, is wearing striped socks like he's Pippi goddamn Longstocking.
He has this tailored suit.
Yeah.
From God, someplace on
a bespoke suit.
Yeah, from the finest clothiers in London, and then he has these stripy socks just to show he's a little wacky.
Right. Brooks Brothers suits and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so he goes up and eats this steak after 45 minutes of this guy on the heat prongs. And the thing could have worked if they put money into it, I think.
Well, it was like a toaster oven or something, kind of on its side. It wasn't really much to it.
Another great
guy. But it seemed to cook the steak, but it took 45 minutes, and you could make a steak any other way faster than that and be a perfectly good steak, too. So.
Right. The gimmick was it would cook it to the perfect temperature. If you had 45 minutes to wait for a fucking steak.
The guy was a wackadoo, too. Yeah.
Was he ever.
He was a weird guy. That did weird, crazy.
Call me a wackadoo. A
lot of wackadoos. There was a guy that was insane. I thought it was going to kill somebody.
The guy with the bike?
Hubcaps for bikes.
The hubcap for his bike.
Spinning hubcaps for bicycles.
Yes.
Lots of crazy people. Great show for that.
But they always, it ends up in, because all the wacky guys you love, and you even see products that you go like, oh, that's kind of a good product, I would buy that.
Would you have bought the Nigerian guy who made the game called Scramblers 10?
No.
I have made this game that is called Scramblers 10, and it is a number game. And they look and they're like, and Pat Croce goes, it's Scrabble.
Yeah.
He actually had a Scrabble board.
Even calling it Scramblers 10 is so close to Scrabble that it's ridiculous.
Guy invented nothing.
But you know, you saw these things, and you go, oh, that's kind of neat, or I would buy that, or that looks kind of cute. And then they always go with like, this guy. There was a fireman, who invented an angel that sits on top of your tree, and will dispense water if your tree catches on fire. And you would have thought this guy cured cancer. You would have thought this guy was the greatest human being who ever lived.
He saved lives.
I'm here to save lives.
I want to save lives. Meanwhile, they let a guy who made a goddamn Hot Wheel car go into the finals. This guy literally made a Hot Wheel track.
He made an electronic starter that would start two Hot Wheel cars at the same time.
Oh.
That's what he made.
I'm sure Mattel has not thought of that.
That wasn't the guy who made the finals. That was a different guy with a different car. But no, the guy with the Hot Wheels tracks and the electric starter, he made it to like the finals of the city, but not the finals of the whole show.
There was a guy, and then one of the finalists, he made this like HT racer, whatever it was.
It was a car that you could swap out the engine and put it in a plane.
You could put different chassis on the engine. And he goes and flies the plane directly into the wall in like 5 seconds.
It was great.
Like what kid who is, kids today don't care about that. Kids today are out like stealing stuff. Playing Xbox 360.
Yeah, kids are playing, you know, Counter-Strike on the internet. You know,
and exchanging blowjobs like they're greeting. You know what I mean? That's a kid.
Yeah.
No kid's going to sit and play with a goddamn agent. Maybe like a 9-year-old kid.
Right. But he was trying to target this to 14-year-olds. It's like 14-year-olds are out getting laid at this point. You know,
like, stupid. The guy was like, what is he? What audience is this?
If, you know what you want a 14-year-old to use something? Build a bong or something. Yeah. You know, like that's what kids are using at 14.
Right.
You know, they're not, you know.
Everything's a bong.
Yeah.
When you're that age.
Yeah.
I had a ceramics class in high school, and this kid...
Would you guys make...
Yeah, this one kid, every time we put something in the kiln, and you had to make like 5 or 6 pots in the course of this thing, and every time it was time for the kiln, he had made a bong, and the teacher was like, you know I can't make this. And it was like any shape you could imagine,
they were like,
even remotely bong-like.
Remember like girls who did like glass blowing?
Yeah.
They would fit like pipes and stuff like that.
Oh, God.
Blow water pipes and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, the thing about that show, though, with all these people who had these weird devices, it's like everyone was so, like, the woman who... There was a woman with really large breasts.
Yes.
Real big tits.
Yes.
And this girl invented a bra that... I guess it wasn't just, like, I'm a girl with big tits.
I like
and
a woman with meat on her bones.
It wasn't like a girl who just needed a new bra because she had big tits. It was like, girls with big breasts can't wear a backless dress. This is how many fucking problems women have. There's people dying and starving and have AIDS and all kinds of shit all over. But women can't wear a backless dress if they have big tits. That was the problem that she was solving.
There was
a
girl with the fake breasts who had the indent in the bed.
Yeah. She had a hole cut out of her mattress for her titties to sit in while she slept. That was completely stupid. But this woman who made the final, she was the runner-up to the ultimate winner, who was the stupid fireman guy, was this woman had... a bra that a woman could wear a backless dress. Like, those are the problems that women have.
Yes.
That's what women are dealing with in America.
It was like an adjustable bra that had different
straps. It had different straps. Basically, it had no back straps. Right. You could wear a
you
backless
dress.
You
don't have to put sticky adhesive on your bosoms anymore.
And look, maybe that would work, maybe it wouldn't, but it's hardly a great invention.
Foreman was fixated on her.
He was looking at her like she was a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
You know, it was
he was
really,
drooling.
He really was.
Oh, I think this is a wonderful item. I think a lot of people will enjoy. I enjoy bosoms. Do you? Pat Croce, you like boobies? I would buy this for my wife and my 12 daughters.
And it was okay. It was an okay invention. But, of course, it was probably even a better and more practical invention than the stupid angel that puts out the fire. Because this guy had a tank of 5 gallons of water and a piece
he
of...
Had a,
it was a metal tank. The thing must have weighed 200 pounds.
It was a compressor.
Pounds, and it had a compressor and an alarm system.
Would disguise the compressor as a
present.
And it would shoot water up the tube to the angel on top. And then
that would work like a sprinkler, like in an office building. That would, you know, it was.
But they demoed it, and the thing worked. But
it's not practical that people are going to have a giant device like that under their tree.
No.
Even if it's hidden as a present, it's still a giant device you got to put somewhere the other 11 months out of the year that you're not using your goddamn Christmas tree.
It's better than EZT for you, which was this. I don't even understand exactly how it was supposed to work.
They were retrofitting coffee makers.
It was with an attachment.
A tea maker.
Yeah.
That would fit on your coffee maker.
Right.
Because apparently...
On the basket on your coffee machine.
Because you know what, Corey? It's too hard to make tea.
Yeah.
It's hot water in a bag. Right. And that's too goddamn hard for people.
Meanwhile, Pissy McBrit is like, I would never use that.
Yeah. I think he said he liked it at first, and then when he got to the prototype phase, he didn't like
it. Well, because all Brits, it's like they put the kettle on. People who drink tea.
But
it's a routine.
But the problem with American Inventor is they ultimately go to the guy with the six kids who wants to be a hero, and they play all kinds of awful Josh Groban music behind him while he's sitting there hugging his wife and saving the world, and they give the guy $1 million, and everyone feels good about themselves.
That's
the problem with shows. It's all those shows. They're not,
And America's Got Talent, it's like this 12-year-old girl can sing the stars out of the trees, or the birds out of the
these
trees.
Shows,
stars out of the sky.
The show just, and it turns into, and so is that stupid... Extreme Makeover Home Edition. That's not about building a house. It's not about finding a great inventor.
It's making
people feel good about themselves, and you feel good about it at home, and the guy that wins feels good, and the producers feel good. Everybody feels good. Nobody's helped. That invention, everyone's going to have a fucking tank under their
Christmas
tree.
It's about Ty Pennington's agent feeling better.
No one's going to fucking have that. It's about Ty Pennington writing a goddamn book about how great everything is. Meanwhile, the guy's driving drunk down the Sunset Strip with two hookers in the back of his car. Yeah, I don't know if he had a hooker in his car.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? The guy's not a stand-up guy.
I don't think he had hookers.
He didn't have hookers in his car.
Let's retract that.
All right, I'm sorry, but he was drunk in L.A.
Now, that being
said, picked up.
He's a giant ass-licking fag.
We don't know that
I don't want to slander him.
We don't know that he licks ass. We just know he's a fag.
No, he's a rim job specialist.
The point of these shows is to
he's
make people
Ty
feel
Pennington,
good.
The toss
we don't,
salad
okay,
man.
We can't say that. We don't know that Ty Pennington's really a fag. We don't know that he licks ass.
I'm not saying he's a fag, but his boyfriend is.
Shut up. You can't say that. It's slander. Oh. You can't say that. You're making a joke.
What
it's
if
a
I,
funny joke.
What if I write it down? Is that now libel?
If you write it on your T-shirt and walk up and down the block, is it
libel?
I don't know
I can't
what that
tell.
Is. But here's the point. All these shows just serve to make people feel better about themselves.
I'm sorry.
And the Corey and Joel radio show, we don't try to make anybody feel better.
No.
You should feel awful about yourself after listening
to this. We talked
to
you about LeBeau and Newkirk and what went on.
You learned the difference between Dean Travers and Mr. Angelino today.
Yeah. And Ivan Dixon, the black guy.
How proud are you today?
He ran the radio.
Who did?
The black guy on Hogan's Heroes. Like, he couldn't go out and, like, do any... Like, they would dress as Nazis sometimes and go out and do stuff.
It's because you never touch a black man's radio.
Yeah. That's coming out soon.
Yeah,
Rush Hour 3.
We'll have a review of that on the next show, you think? Maybe Rush Hour 3?
Yeah, I'm doing that one.
So. All right.
That and Underdog. It's going to be a hell of a week. Going to suffer for my art that week. Oh.
Well, what are you going to do?
Never touch a black man's radio. Oh,
that's right. That's why he had the radio.
That's why, But I'm like, a black guy isn't real good. Seriously, in World War II, covert operations, a black guy's going to get caught by the Nazis real damn quick.
Yeah.
What is going on here? There's a disturbance. Hogan? Why is there a black man, a Schwarzer?
He couldn't just...
Dressed as an SS officer.
Yeah, he couldn't just put on the the German officer's uniform sneak out in a truck in the middle of the night.
Richard Dawson in his Luftwaffe uniform standing next to Soul Brother number one. And what is going on here, Hogan? Hogan? It's the best show ever made, I think.
I was
wacky Nazi prison camp.
I was too young for that. It's one of those shows that
it was on reruns when we were kids.
You wouldn't believe they actually made it. It's such a wacky premise, but there it is, Hogan's Heroes.
See, I remember that being in heavy rotation when we were kids.
But I was too young to get it when it was on. Like now, you really don't see it much.
Yeah, I think it's on Nick at Night or TV.
Yeah, but who really watches that?
Well, I don't know.
It's not like on in, prime time or something you'd see.
I would watch the crap out of TV Land if they had better stuff.
I mean, it's hard to see Three's Company now. Three's Company, you got to go out of your way to see. You don't really bump into Three's Company.
No, it was on rotation.
But, I'm talking about, like, the sitcoms that were, like, the 7 p.m. syndicated reruns. It's gone from that.
They're all condensed.
Now it's everybody loves Raymond is on it, and Friends and Seinfeld. So, I mean, that's where, like, Hogan's Heroes was back in the day. It was on at like 7 o'clock.
I have on
the
my
local UHF stations.
My crappy DirecTV, which took away Trio. I have. They killed Trio. I hate them for that.
Yeah, whatever.
Now they have this Ovation TV, which is like A&E. It's all.
Yeah.
It's like documentaries on Roy Lichtenstein. I'm like, no. People who watch television aren't watching that.
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
Yeah, and they killed Trio.
Wow. Did we just talk about TV exclusively?
Yeah, it's on a TV party.
The show's pretty much over, but hey.
Episode 133, TV party.
Or TV orgy.
Is this TV 143?
It's 133, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I like our continuing trend of getting the number of the show wrong. It's a favorite thing we do on the show.
Yeah, that was number 133, unless you count the 69 and a half.
Doomkopf! You get it wrong!
If that is actually 70, then this would be 174, yeah. But you know.
Now, the RSS feed for 130 was incorrect.
What I did is I took my personal RSS feed and I renamed. I ran all of the tags through an MP3 retagging program.
Yeah.
And I retagged all show numbers. So now.
Did you really?
The show numbers are no longer the show numbers that they list.
Yeah.
But they are, in fact, new show numbers.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Yeah. I actually number the shows in binary code now. So they are no longer show 133. They are show 10110101. Yeah. That is the number of the TV show.
Now I will ride the tram to get some curry first.
All right. Speaking of TV, favorite new show, Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, sir.
Let's play the final song from them because that really that really is good stuff. Make sure to check the show on HBO or wherever you can get that illegally on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Flight of the Conchords. It's good stuff.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
I'm going to go watch Hogan's Heroes.
Goodbye. Are you? They're saying goodbye to us now.
Tripper!
Schultz!
I know nothing!
Every day I look across the office floor. There you were, your head down to your legs and your legs down to the floor. Leggy blonde, goodbye, goodbye. Now that you are gone, I'll never see you here for tech repair. Wish you knew how much I loved your legs and your hair. Leggy blonde, goodbye, goodbye.
Leggy, 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 leggy.
Leggy, 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 leggy.
Leggy, 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 leggy.
Leggy, 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 leggy.
Blondie, 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 blondie.
Blondie, 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 blondie.
Leggy blonde, goodbye, goodbye.
But it died.
Whoa, whoa.
I like pie. Leggy, 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 leggy.